morning, church family. Would you stand across this room? It's my privilege to introduce, no stranger to Prestonwood, our guest worship leader, our friend. Would you welcome Charles Billingsley?
Good morning, everybody. So glad to see you today. We are here for one purpose and one purpose only, to give glory and honor to King Jesus. So will you lift your hearts, lift your voice with us? Sing along, all right? Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow at His feet. He has done great things, yeah. See what our Savior has done. See how His love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things. Will you sing it?
Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awakened alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, your name.
Best part about the whole thing. Not only does He give us abundant life on this earth, but one day He's coming back to get us. And we'll have the privilege and the honor of worshiping Him for all of eternity. Our friend Michael Neal wrote this song. I think you might know it. It points to a day that's still to come. No terrors and darkness, no arrows would make our hearts tremble or make our faith shake. 'Cause there'll come a morning, yes there will, when all is made right. We will not waver. We know that our Savior will roll back the night. Yes, He will. So
amen. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. We have a fantastic group following Christ Jesus this morning in baptism. This is a senior PCA Lion, Liam Caldwell. Liam, because of your public profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, you got some fans out there, pal, and obedience to Christ's command, it brings me great joy to baptize you, my little brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is Lainey Flora. Lainey, because of your public profession of faith in the Lord Jesus and in obedience to Christ's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this young lady is Clara Kleckner. Clara, because of your public profession of faith in the Lord Jesus and in obedience to Christ's command, it brings me joy to baptize you, my little sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is Mr. Andrew Lee. Andrew, because of your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus and in obedience to Christ's command, it brings me joy to baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Got another PCA lion right here, a seventh grader, Hunter Little. Hunter, because of your public profession of faith in the Lord Jesus and in obedience to Christ's command, it brings me joy to baptize you, my little brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this young man is Carson Patillo. Carson, because of your public profession of faith in the Lord Jesus and in obedience to Christ's command, I baptize you, my little brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is first grade PCA lion Charles Scott. Cross your arms there, Charlie. Charlie, because of your public profession of faith in the Lord Jesus and in obedience to Christ's command, it brings me great joy to baptize you, my little brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life.
Wow. Can all God's people just say together, amen? So awesome. Just standing there watching these six that were baptized, I was convicted and reminded, may we never grow accustomed, church, to what we just experienced. Change life to the glory of God. Amen? So powerful, so beautiful. Speaking of beautiful, what a beautiful day to worship the Lord Jesus. This first Sunday in November, how was it sleeping an extra hour this morning? Okay, can I just confess to you, I'm at the age where it doesn't make any difference. I still wake up at the same time. I remember back in the day, though, this extra hour was important, but it is special to be together this morning. Our pastor, Dr. Jack Graham, continues his teaching series, The Story of Jesus. And this morning, get your Bibles out and be ready. The book of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11 is where pastor is going to be teaching from today. So be ready. If you're a guest at Preston Wood this morning, either here in the room or online, we want to say welcome. Church family, let's welcome our guests today. We know many of you are here today worshiping the Lord, and it's our prayer for you that you came in this room or watching online with a heart that says, Lord, I'm ready to receive. I want to receive all that you are. And I know that in this room, there are people that are probably walking through difficulty and challenges and learning how to worship the Lord in every season of life. And so we want to say welcome to our guest. If you're here live in the room, we want to invite you out to the atrium after this service, our guest central area out there. We want to meet you personally, put a gift from Preston Wood and our pastor in your hands. And also, lest we forget, if you're a first-time guest, we have a card out there with a free lunch token, all right? So just the first-timers, right? You can take that free lunch ticket down to the Commons and have a free lunch on Preston Wood today. It's just so good to be together in the house of the Lord, and we are in His presence today. So I would invite you to stand. I want to pray over us and just ask the Lord to continue to minister to us in this beautiful place that we love so much. Lord Jesus, the presence, your presence, is in this room today. And oh, Father, I ask that you fix our eyes and fix our hearts on you. And yes, for those that are in this room that may be walking through a season, Lord, I pray that our eyes would be so clearly focused on the man, the person, the highest of all. God, you are our everything, and we worship you today. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Church, let's continue to worship.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. turns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ, I'll stand. I stand in the power of Christ alone, because He alone is the giver of life, hope, peace. Who has the power to raise the dead? And who can save us from our sin? He is our hope, our righteousness. Jesus, only Jesus. And who can make the blind to see? Who holds the keys that set us free? He paid it all to bring us peace. Jesus, only Jesus.
Do you know this chord? It was like this.
Holy King Almighty Lord, saints and you will come.
Praise the name of Jesus. And thank you, Charles Billingsley, for being here once again. No stranger to Prestonwood. Charles, we are so grateful for you. God gave him such a great gift, and he uses it for him. And a number of those songs, Horizon, is part of our music here at Prestonwood. And you can, in fact, that's the title track of one of our albums that you can download. And then Charles, one reason we brought Charles in this weekend is, you know, Deb and I thought that we should have a date night and invite some of our closest friends. So we did that last night, and it was sold out, about 400 to 500 people down in our student ministry building. And we asked Charles to come and sing standards, classic songs from his newest albums, The Shadow of Your Smile. And yes, he does great Christian music, faith music, but he's been wanting to do this this brand new album, just singing things like The Shadow of Your Smile and Smile Though Your Heart is Breaking, some of these great songs. And we had an incredible time last night. And you can get his album, The Shadow of Your Smile. He didn't mention any of that, but I want to mention it because it's really good. If you think Bublé is good, you ought to listen to Charles Billingsley sing these great songs, because he's better. I promise you that he is. But Charles, we're glad you're here. He also has a Christmas album. It's beginning to feel like the season now, doesn't it? And here we all, it's fall, y'all, and we are ready for Thanksgiving and Christmas, and things are coming up. We have the lighting of our Christmas tree out front here on Monday the 11th. I believe that's the 11th. The 21st, excuse me. Monday, November the 21st. That's turned into a great event to reach to our community and our church family. So lots of fun. We'll light the Christmas tree and ignite the season of the year at Thanksgiving and at Christmas. So I know you'll want to be a part of that. But Charles has a Christmas album as well. So I really enjoy being able to promote people who are singing great music for the church and for God's people and all who will listen. So thanks, Charles. We look forward to hearing you already again at the next service. Great music, incredible worship. Another part of this season, this is voting season. How many of you have already voted? Let me see your hands. Well, I said to Deb, about 80%, it looks like nearly 100% in here today. So thank you for going early and voting. And if you haven't voted, then I want to encourage you to go out on Tuesday, which is Election Day. As always, it's a very important, significant time in the life of our country. And one thing that we're doing this week is on this coming Wednesday evening. There's an organization, I just happened to see it online this morning early. Yeah, I was up early too. My time doesn't change that much. But I was up early and I was watching online, and there's an organization that is offering a thing called Light Up the Church. I think we've got a slide on that. I wanted to put it up. And lightupthechurch.org. And what this is about is that in 1938, Nazis began the Holocaust and the deaths of 6-7 million or more Jewish people in Germany and around the world. And it was called because the Nazis went in and uprooted graves and tore down buildings and smashed businesses and all the rest. That night, that fateful night, is called Kristallnacht. And it is November the 9th, which is this coming week. And so what we're going to do as a church, and I wanted to tell you about this. There's nothing that you can do about it other than pass the word. But just know that our church, both campuses, will be lit up this Wednesday night all night long, because we're standing with the Jewish people in support of our Jewish neighbors and our friends. So that's Light Up the Church. So you'll be able to drive by. If you drive by, I don't know why you would be out at 2 a.m., but if you drive out here at 2 a.m., you're going to see the church all lit up. And when you do, pray the Jewish people, for Israel. And we know that our gospel, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, is for the Jew first and also to the Gentile. So we love the Jewish people, and we're thankful for our friends in our own neighborhoods, as well as in Israel and around the world. Regarding voting, let me just say that We never tell people how to vote. We give guidelines if they are asked for as to who is running and what their positions are on the issues. But I wanted to mention the six people that have been given to me who are running for public office here in the state of Texas. Blanca Oliver, Denton County Justice of the Peace. Chance Oliver, Denton County Criminal Court Law 4. You may want to note these. Evelyn Brooks, State Board of Education, District 14. Matt Shaheen, right here on the front row, State Representative, District 66. Thank you for your service, Matt. Candy Noble, also State Representative, District 89. And Mike Gould, Collin County District Clerk. And I am personally grateful, as I know you are, for our members who are willing to serve the Lord, serve the church, serve our community, serve our state, our nation, and the world by giving themselves to public service. So we thank you, and we're praying for you at this time. Now take your Bibles and turn with me to the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. This is a series we're calling Tell Me the Story of Jesus. And so far we have looked at the character of Christ, who he is. We have discovered that his name is above every name, that he is the beloved Son of God, that he is God in the dirt, Emmanuel, who is God with us, and that he is the anointed and appointed Messiah of Israel. And we have identified who Jesus is, and he is both God and man, both human and divine, equally and essentially and eternally God. And in his manhood, he walked like a man, he talked like a man, he was a man in every way. And he was the kind of man that could appeal to people, and people would follow him. We're talking about making a decision for our nation this week, and we pray that'll be a good decision, good decisions for our nation. But the most important decision that any of us can make is that decision to follow Jesus Christ. And I want to talk to you today about following Jesus and the path of discipleship. The passage that we have in front of us, Luke 5 in the first 11 verses, if you only had this passage, it would tell you that Jesus is God, that Jesus is man, and he is worthy of all of our worship and fellowship and discipleship, that he is worthy of everything that we can bring to him. So once you know who Jesus is, you see who he is, you believe in him, and then follow him. Following Jesus. And my prayer in this passage and in this message today, that it will challenge all of us to go to a deeper, more dynamic discipleship in Christ. That we will take more steps forward as we follow him. That we would not simply be secret admirers of Jesus or distant relatives of Jesus, but that he would have all of us, all of the time. That we would give our lives unconditionally to him. Because Jesus did not say, admire me. He said, follow me. Follow Jesus. Jesus is popular. He is preaching throughout the Galilean region. And crowds are gathering. And Jesus was good with the crowds. You know, every preacher, and Jesus was a preacher. God had one son and he made him a preacher. And preachers like the crowds. I like it when a big crowd like this shows up. But we also need to remember that while Jesus loved the crowds and had compassion on the crowds, it was never about the crowd, and it is not about the crowd. It's about the one. And so we're going to take the next several weeks, and we're going to go one-on-one with Jesus and talk about some of the conversations he had with people individually. So we're going to do some FaceTime with Jesus and some of the people that met Jesus and that we might meet him as well. And the first conversation that we're going to see is a conversation that he had with Simon Peter and the other disciples, but specifically Simon Peter, and who was a fisherman. We call him the big fisherman. But he was a man who began following Jesus and his life would never be the same. So beginning in verse 1, on one occasion while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, literally God speaking, to hear the word of God, he is preaching. The crowds are listening. This is always our purpose when we stand in this place before you and before the people who are watching online. Those listening on the podcast, I'm happy to report you've been praying that we now have nearly 3 million people on the Through the Bible in a Year podcast that we have the privilege of doing every day. It occurred to me this week that I'm preaching to more people right now than I've ever preached to in my life, and I'm grateful for that opportunity. But again, the crowds are pressing in, and what's the message? The message is the Word of God, not our message, not the message of a man, but the message of God. And so this is God speaking. Jesus was not a man speaking about God or teaching about God. He was God who had come to teach. So the Word of God, and to this very day, the Word of God, the message of Jesus, is our message. We have no other message. When I stand here each week and when others stand in this place, this is not a speech. This is not entertainment. This is the Word of God that goes forth from this pulpit. We preach Christ and Christ alone. So when He is present and when His Word is preached, people gather. And that's what was happening here around the Sea of Galilee. He was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret. I just called it the Sea of Galilee, but Luke, ever the historian, there are four gospel witnesses, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in your New Testament. This describes the historicity and the divine inspiration of who Jesus is. And Luke, being a physician, is telling the story very accurately. And he mentions that this is a lake because what we call the Sea of Galilee, and I've been to it many, many times, and we'll be on a Jesus boat on the Sea of Galilee here in a few weeks after Christmas with our group. But he was standing by the Sea of Galilee or the Lake Gennesaret. It is Gennesaret. Luke identifies it as a lake. It was a fresh water lake, not a sea. There was no salt in this body of water. And there was a beautiful, fertile fields east and west around the Sea of Galilee. And there was probably a garden by the name of Gennesaret, a beautiful place, a fertile field or a garden. And thus the lake became known as Lake Gennesaret. And he is preaching there. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. And getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, that's Peter, he asked them to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and he taught the people from the boat, from the prow of this boat. When I was in West Palm Beach, Florida, the pastor of the First Baptist Church in the 1980s, one of my predecessors, Dr. Jess Moody, had built an amphitheater on the intercoastal of the Atlantic Ocean, and it was an outdoor, beautiful amphitheater, and the pulpit that I preached from every week was literally made by a boat maker, the prow of a boat, and it was taken from this idea in the passage, and it was always a thrill to preach outdoors and to preach from the prow of this boat. And that's what Jesus was doing. The crowd was pushing him, so he gets out, he gets in the boat, into Simon's boat. Simon, along with John and Andrew and others, were already following him to some extent. They were around Jesus. They were admiring Jesus, but something much better, much bigger is about to happen once Simon truly gives his life to follow Christ. So Jesus pushes out, he's teaching the people, and when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon, ever putting his foot in his mouth, says, "Master, we've toiled all night and took nothing." Simon must have been thinking, what is an itinerant, unemployed carpenter know about fishing? I'm a fisherman. We worked all night. There's nothing out there to be had this day. But to Simon Peter's credit, he says in verse 5, "But at your word, always a good response when the Lord asks you to do something, whether you understand it or not. But Lord, nevertheless, Lord, at your word, I will let down the nets. And when he had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. And they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they were beginning to sink. So when Simon Peter saw it, when he saw this incredible miracle that God created, that Jesus made happen, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, two brothers, and who were partners, fishing partners. They were in the business together with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. They left it all, and they followed Jesus. Grown men who were willing to leave their careers behind, and at whatever personal cost, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. The question of this message that I'm asking everyone today is, are you a follower of Jesus? I didn't ask, are you a fan of Jesus? Or even favorable towards Jesus? I'm asking because of who he is. He is God and man, Son of God, Savior of the world. And because of this, we've seen his miracle. We've seen what God can do in Christ. And now, because of this, are you willing to follow him? Again, not as an admirer or an advocate, but as a disciple. Now, what is a disciple of Jesus? A disciple literally means someone disciplined to learn. And the Christian life is a life of discipleship, learning and loving Jesus, learning of Jesus and loving Jesus himself. To follow Jesus, of course, literally means to walk with him. So disciples walk with Jesus. They spend time with Jesus, not just apostles in the ancient age, but men and women today who are willing to walk with Jesus every single day, and to learn more and more about who he is. This is one of the big reasons we're doing this series, Tell Me the Story of Jesus, because this is a time of discipleship for us. This week at Prestonwood Christian Academy and Prestonwood Church, we had our Biblical Worldview Institute conference, and it was extremely successful. Nearly 3,000 people attended. Our students were here, and we had, there it is on the screen, 14 states were involved in live streaming, 5 schools also, 150 to 300 students online, dynamic speakers, dozens of professions of faith. And I was just told that the young people from Prestonwood Christian Academy who were baptized this morning came to faith in Jesus Christ this week at our Biblical Worldview Conference. And so the reason that we continue to do this conference is because we want our students and all disciples in the fellowship of Prestonwood to know him, to grow in him. I told the students myself this week, you know, my message is that you would know your faith and own your faith. Own your faith, know your faith, and then grow your faith. And that's a disciple. And that's not just for students in school, but it is all of us who have enrolled in the curriculum of Christ. All of us who are believers, and therefore we are followers of Jesus. So many have made a decision, but they have not become disciples to follow him, and there's a big difference. Following Jesus is more than cheering for Jesus and celebrating him or attending a service when it's convenient or when it's a special day, but it is following Jesus all the time in every way that you can. So I want to talk about what does it take to make a disciple. We're all in process. It's why I call the subtitle, The Pathway to Discipleship. So what is this pathway? What is a disciple and a follower of Jesus? Number one, and we see it right in this text. Number one, A disciple commits to follow Christ, to completely follow Jesus. A disciple commits to following Jesus completely. Now that the crowds are following Jesus and the word is spreading around the Galilee about who he is, he's now calling individuals. He's an incredible teacher. He is a healer performing great miracles. He has power over disease. Now we see that he has power over nature. He can command the fish. And they're gathering. It's like a stadium of people gathering and cheering a winning team, like some of those teams you saw when, you know, Charles is the teaching pastor at Thomas Road Baptist Church, along with the worship leader there, Charles Billingsley. And Liberty Baptist University actually defeated the University of Arkansas yesterday, and it was a big win. And you should have seen, sorry about all the pig sueys out there. I'm an Arkansan, but I can't help but tell you I was cheering for the Liberty Flames yesterday. Dr. Falwell had this great dream, Falwell Sr., about a university that would be for Christians and evangelical Christians, what Notre Dame is to Catholics and BYU to Mormons and so on. And so we're seeing this, and it's a lot of fun. But or LSU beating Alabama last night. When you see all these fans running up and they're cheering and they're jumping up and down. I mean, this was the atmosphere around Lake Gennesaret, around this little pond where Jesus was preaching. And Jesus welcomed everyone. We learned in the last message that he came as the anointed, the appointed Messiah. For who? The blind, the broken, the bruised, the bound, the people who were hurting and helpless. Jesus came for these. And so many people, so many ordinary people, broken people, common people were gathering around Jesus. Many were just curious. But then he calls his disciples to follow him and commit. Jesus separated always from the crowd, the curious crowd, those who will commit and follow him. In fact, the larger the crowds, you see this in the life of Jesus, the larger the crowds became, the more Jesus demanded discipleship. To count the cost, he said, pick up the cross and follow me. Real followers, not Twitter followers, but Jesus followers. Why does Jesus have so many admirers and so few followers in some ways? Some do not have the courage to follow Jesus, to risk their reputation, their careers, their future, and put it in his hands. Some do not follow Jesus because they're just too busy. Jesus called people to discipleship, and one man who was listening said, well, first let me go bury my father, and then I'll follow you. Really? We're going to wait for grandpa to die, then I'll follow you, Jesus? No. Jesus said, now, immediately, it's worth everything to follow me. Some don't want to give up control of their lives. Want to be the captain of their own ship rather than giving Jesus the prow, giving Jesus the boat. They're unwilling to say, Lord, I'll follow you as Lord. You will lead me wherever I go. You will be my master and my friend. Some people do not follow Jesus as a disciple because they've never been challenged at this level, never been coached up. Again, this is what our Bible teaching ministry is about at Prestonwood. This is what our school is about. We want to coach you up so that you can be a true follower of Jesus, that you would be all in as a Christian. I read a quote this week from Billy Graham that I wanted to give you. And Billy's been in heaven a few years now, but his voice is still so supercharged to every generation. He was talking about the fact that he said, I can't live the Christian life alone. I'm a failure. Billy Graham can't live the Christian life. I've tried. I can't do it. But with the help of the Word of God and the help of the Holy Spirit, I can live the Christian life. He lives his life through me. And I love that because I'm thinking, my goodness, if Billy Graham can't live the Christian life, what about me? No one can live the Christian life in our own strength. The discipleship that we're talking about is a discipleship that is now full of the Spirit and the presence of Jesus. Christ lives his life through us. He went on to say in this article that I was reading, he said this actually back in 1955. And as we think about this election coming up and the future of America, here's what Billy said that is prophetic. He said, the regeneration of the individual is much more needed than the revolution of society. He stated in that same year, if I didn't believe that the Bible and the gospel of Jesus Christ held the answer to this world's baffling problems, I would go back to the farm and the rural life that I love and spend my days in peaceful solitude. Well, I'm glad Billy didn't go back to the farm, that he preached the gospel all over the world. And this is what, you know, if I did not believe this gospel was the only answer, that Jesus is not the only answer, I'd go do something else as well. I'd play golf or do something else. But because I believe that Jesus is the answer to the human predicament and problem, because he's the only solution to the problems that we have in America and around the world, we keep preaching Jesus Christ because he is the answer. But here's what I wanted you to hear from Billy today. He said, if Christianity is important at all, do we have this on the screen? Yes. If Christianity is important at all, it is all important. If it is anything at all, it is everything. It is either the most vital thing in your life or it isn't worth bothering with. It's true. Are you a follower of Jesus? Are you a disciple, one who is learning of him and living for him and loving him? Following Jesus will cost you some things. It may cost you friends. It may cost you family members who don't understand. It could cost you a spouse and a relationship. But it's worth it to follow Jesus, isn't it? It's worth it to give your all to him, because when we are willing to give up anything and everything to follow him, he will give us back something better, both now and in eternity, especially in eternity when we meet him. We need to give up those things that slow us down, impede our progress in walking with Jesus, in being with Jesus as a disciple. Any attitude in my life, any activity in my life, any association, any ambition that does not honor Christ, I need to turn my back, walk away from it, leave it behind, and follow Jesus. With my eyes upon him, this is the call to discipleship. This is the cost to discipleship. We were talking about Nazi Germany. There was a pastor well known by many, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, that became a martyr for his faith in Christ and resisting the Nazis. And he wrote a book called The Cost of Discipleship. There is a price to pay, but it's worth it. It costs to serve Jesus, and I assure you, it pays to serve Jesus every single day. But we ought to lay aside the weights and the sin that so easily takes us down, as the writer of Hebrews says. Let's quit asking, is this thing I'm about to do, is it sinful? And start asking ourselves the question, is it helpful? Does it get me down the road in following Jesus? What do I need to leave behind? What do you need to leave behind? Jesus is calling us to deny self, to pick up the cross and follow him. He is to be second to none in our lives. First place and foremost, always. There are no rivals. We're to love him more than anyone and anything. Jesus Christ. That's discipleship. That's where we're going. He is to be the one and only. What if you had a portrait of your wife on your desk? Beautiful portrait of your wife, but next to your wife, there were some little photos of your old girlfriends and friends, women that you like all around. How do you think that's going to go over? Not so well. There's only one that we look to for our salvation and for our strength every day. To follow Jesus is to commit to Him exclusively. To give up, some of you need to give up your religion and give up your church background and give up your denomination and whatever it is so that you can follow Jesus. So to follow Jesus is to commit your all to Him. To follow Jesus is to be a disciple and therefore to count the cost. We've been picking some scenes from The Chosen that amplify and illustrate our sermons. So from this text today, and my time is already short. You haven't been listening fast enough. Or I haven't been talking fast enough. But here's the clip that we chose from this very scene in Luke chapter 5. Watch it.
My brother and the baptizer, you are the Lamb of God, yes?
I am.
Depart from me. I am a sinful man. You don't know who I am and the things I've done.
Don't be afraid, Simon.
I'm sorry. We've waited for you for so long, we believe. But my faith, I'm sorry.
Lift up your head, fisherman.
What do you want from me? Anything you ask, I will do.
Follow me.
I will.
You as well. Yes, you, James and John. Come, follow me.
I'll take the fish into market and settle up Simon's debt. I'll get some help to fill both of these boats.
Are you sure?
Yes, go.
What will you tell Ima?
We've just been called by the man we prayed for our entire lives. And you ask me, what will I say when you miss supper? Go, now.
So, you sure you don't want to do this just a few more times? Well, we'll make a great team on the boat.
Son.
Joking.
Fish are nothing. You have much bigger things ahead of you, Simon, son of Jonah. Did you understand that parable I told earlier? From now on, I will make you fishers of men. And you are to gather as many as possible, all kinds. I will sort them out later.
And that's the last point of this message. What does it mean to follow Jesus? It means to become fishers of men.
Amen.
This is the call. Because when you're following, what are you doing? You're fishing. This is the call to cast our net, the width of our influence, to use whatever we have to bring people and introduce people to Jesus Christ. This is the mission and the passion of our Lord. And it's what He's called every one of us to do. I like to say that fishermen take fish from a beautiful life and kill them. But Jesus takes people from a dead life and makes their life beautiful. And this is why we share the gospel of Christ, because we know. And what I love in seeing the scene here is just the exuberance in which these men follow Jesus. Think about it. These are young men, but they're willing. What would cause these young men, rough-hewn fishermen, just to walk away from their life as they had known it? Everything they'd known, the business they'd worked so hard to develop. What would cause someone just to drop all of that and follow Jesus? The pure power of Jesus to change a life. You'll walk away from anything to follow the one who can make your life brand new. And we want people to know. You know, this story I love, I didn't get to tell it, explain it enough, but when Jesus told Peter to put that boat out into the deep and to launch out into the deep, it reminds me that God has called this ship of grace, this big boat called Prestonwood, not to stay in the harbor, but to launch out into the deep and cast a wide net for people around the world who need Jesus. And we're seeing that. I'm so thrilled. I've been at two events the past month, where two of the men and women in our church who organize mission opportunities and ministries, one was Kevin Seidler and his wife Patty, who a number of years ago as a dentist determined we want to go around the world, and specifically Romania. We want to start a hospital. We want to fix teeth. We want to help people who are hurting, and we want to tell people about Jesus. And so serving him rose up out of Prestonwood as a big net to catch men and women for Christ. And then just this past week, I was with Charles and Carol Loper and their wonderful organization, which is reaching locally and globally around the world, hurting people, poor people, hungry people, people in Uganda, starting a school and all the rest. And Charles and Carol and Kevin and Patty, and many of you are a part of these organizations, and I would encourage you to give through our church and to them directly to support them, because these are people that are hearing the call of discipleship. Charlie, you had a very successful business. God bless you. But you were willing to walk away to do what God had called you to do. Same with Kevin. He's still practicing as a dentist. But I'm just pointing out, and I could go on and on. The Prestonwood Sports Outreach Organization, the Joe Perry. We use sports as a wide net. Why? To capture kids, to catch kids for the gospel so that they can be alive in Christ. Whether it is life recovery or a pregnancy center, some of these things are risky. But you take the risk, you launch out into the deep, you do the deeper things, you do the better things, you do the costly thing. You open up your checkbook as you open up your heart and you invest in the things that matter. And what matters? Catching men alive for Christ. Bringing women, men, boys and girls to Jesus. So it's why we have a school. It's why we do everything. It's what this service is about. Right now, I'm getting ready to throw a net on the internet. And then over this big net in this room, and I'm going to draw the net. And I'm going to invite you to come to faith in Jesus Christ. It's why we give an invitation. I can't imagine preaching the gospel that Christ died and rose again and lived so that he can live in you. I can't imagine bringing the word of God and the testimony of Jesus and not drawing the net. And so we're going to draw the net right now as I ask you to bow your heads with me in prayer, every head bowed and every eye closed. Are you a follower of Jesus? I'm not asking you to make a decision. I'm asking you to be a disciple and a follower of Jesus. It starts with one step. Simon Peter recognized that he was a sinful man. He said, Lord, I'm a sinful man. When he saw the power of God in Christ, when he saw that he had been rebellious in his own heart, he knew his sin. But Jesus cast the net for sinners. Like you and me, like Simon Peter. And Peter would become the rock. He was known as Simon, but he became Peter, Petros, the rock. He was unstable. He was emotional. He was often immature, but Jesus changed his life. And now his life's on the rock as he's following Jesus. So I'm going to ask you online to text this number, 74788. The word Jesus, J-E-S-U-S. And we're standing by. If you will connect with us, we have a Bible we want to give you. We want to encourage you. We want to explain more fully what it means to be a follower of Jesus. So do that. 74788-JESUS. And in this room, I'm going to ask you to do what Simon Peter and the others who followed Jesus did, and that is to step out of the crowd and hear the voice of Christ calling you to himself and saying, follow me. Will you follow him down this aisle in front of this great group today to honor Christ, to profess your faith, and to stand as a Christian and as a disciple of Jesus. I'm going to ask you to do it today. And then there are others. You are a believer. Are you a disciple? Are you learning? Are you growing? Are you in church? Are you in worship weekly? Are you in the Word of God faithfully? Are you a part of the fellowship of God's church? Are you living for Jesus? Jesus puts us in His church. It's the only organization on earth that Jesus built. It was His church. So this is His church. And are you a disciple of Jesus, serving Christ in the church? Why don't you come today? You should come today and make that decision as a disciple and follower of Jesus to be with Him and to be with God's people, to be with the other disciples and grow in your faith. Maybe you'd like to come and pray today and rededicate your life to the Lord. Some of you used to follow Jesus. You used to be near Him. You walked with Him. But whatever happened, you walked away. But the good news is the Christian life is a series of new beginnings. You can have a new beginning today. You can get up, a sinful man, a sinful woman, and follow Jesus. Lord, may it be so. Bring men, women, boys, and girls to this place of decision and discipleship today. We pray now that your Holy Spirit would move among us to do what only you can do. And we will praise you and honor you for the victory that we have in Jesus. And in this name, the holy and powerful name of Jesus, we pray and expect a miracle in people's lives today. Knowing that the greatest miracle doesn't take place in a sea somewhere or a pond, but Lord, in the hearts of your people who come to you. Let the miracle begin in people's lives this day, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.